Bibles in your hands, get ready for the preaching. We've had the privilege today on our church anniversary, as is tradition, 2 years running, having Pastor Johnson preach all day for us on our anniversary Sunday. Church, if you think about it, for many of us, we came to a church that was established, right? Buildings that were purchased or in the process, chairs that were padded and in place. When I came here, we were 3 months from moving into this building. This is most of what I've known. And we got married in the previous building and came on over here just a few months after that. And there's a lot of foundation laid by many people that have gone before us. We'll see in our memorial videos that we show people that came before us that were here for decades that many of us would never know, or we know by name, by picture. But I think of Pastor and Mrs. Johnson and their family. 42 years being faithful to the Lord. May we never take that for granted, right? We don't worship people. We have a great God. We worship God. But I'm thankful for people that leave us an example to follow. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect church. And if you're looking for a perfect church or person, you're not going to find it anywhere. But I believe that Shasta Baptist Church is a biblical church. Amen. Established by God. Preaches the gospel. Amen. Preaches the gospel, the King James Bible. I'm not preaching today, and I didn't preach last Sunday. I feel out of the loop a little bit, so give me a minute. Is that okay?
Go for it.
All right. Preaches the King James Bible, old time singing the hymns, amen? Amen? And having to focus on reaching souls for Jesus Christ. That's how the church was established 42 years ago, coming up this week, and that's how the church has stayed for these many years. Pastor Johnson retired and stepped away from pastoring, but still traveling and preaching quite often. But we are very blessed to have you here, and thank you, Pastor Mrs. Johnson, and to my wife, and to Ms. Koval, and others that have been here for 30, 40 years plus. And thank you for your faithfulness. To our church family, thank you for your faithfulness. They've only been here for a year or two or 10 years. Thank you for being faithful.
Yeah, man.
For having a place for Shasta Baptist Church to be here today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. God's church will continue. Amen?
Yes.
But Shasta Baptist Church is not guaranteed to continue unless we follow the word of God. So let's be faithful, church. Let's be faithful. Let's continue the foundation that's been laid and continue moving forward for many years. Get your Bibles in your hands. Pastor Johnson, would you be ready to preach? Now, I wouldn't say this to anyone, but just preach tonight. We do have dessert fellowship coming, but please take your time tonight and preach to us. And I say that also knowing he's not long-winded, but please take your time tonight to preach for us. We appreciate you. And would you come and preach for us this evening?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Mark chapter 11 this evening tonight. Thank you for mentioning the dessert one more time. Hey, I like this Hawaiian shirt thing. This is good for preaching. Hey, what do you say? Next Sunday, let's do overalls. I was doing Brother Treber's staff orientation, and he called me right before I went there to do this orientation. They have a book that thick, a binder that thick, of all the stuff their staff has to know. First thing I said was, that's bigger than the Bible, for goodness sakes. They didn't ask me back. Anyway, he said, now, Brother Johnson, the dress for this is business casual. I said, Brother Treber, I have no idea what that means. I'm from Reading. Business casual in Reading is overalls with a T-shirt. Casual is no T-shirt. I mean, he still had me come. But, yeah, I like this Hawaiian shirt thing. This is good. Church, let me take a few moments and say thank you to you for your kindnesses to my wife and I. To not pastor this church was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life. And when it was God's direction, I didn't want to retire. I wasn't looking forward to retirement. People often ask me, how's retirement going? I said, good and bad, good and bad. Parts of it, I'm glad I'm retired. Parts of it, I'm not. But it has been one of the greatest privileges of my life to be the pastor of Shasta Baptist Church for these years and for you and to see that. To start in the Grange Hall building on that first Sunday in August. The very day we started, as has been mentioned, Brother Becker was born. So there's something going on about that. I don't know what that is. Didn't know him then. And then we began there for about 3.5 years. We were in that Grange Hall building. Set up every Sunday, took it down every Sunday. Put the chairs away. Had a sandwich board sign that we put out front for our church. The Grange Hall and Airport across from Kent's Market. And I'd throw that sign on my back like Samson going out of the gates of Gaza and carry it out to the street and set it up and then go in and sweep and mop the building and clean it out and clean the toilets and set the chairs up. And, hey, when you start a church, you have no people. So we didn't have a piano player. We had nothing. I was such a Pharisee, I wouldn't use canned music. So that's what we were there for 3.5 years, set up, take down every service. And then we moved around the corner to the Open Bible Church building that's on Fig Tree. It's still there. It's not the Open Bible Church anymore. We went there, fixed that building up. We were there about 3.5 years. And then the church on Butte Street, building on Butte Street, became available. It was an old eyeglass factory. We went over there, worked about 6-8 months to get that fixed up on the inside, make it look nice like a church. It looked on like an eyeglass factory on the outside. But we were there for about 3.5, that kind of a pattern there. 3.5 years, and then the church building on Cedars Road came available, and we were able to purchase that, move in there. We were there 10.5, 11 years or more in that building, and then we started on this project here and completed and finished it. And the pastor mentioned it, you know, many of you don't know the sacrifice and things that were done in the beginning and the things that have to be done to start a church from scratch and to do all of that. I'm not seeking any, absolutely no appreciation, praise, or credit. Cash works great, though. And would it be impossible to celebrate our anniversary without giving thanks to God? Look at me. There is no reason for Shasta Baptist Church to exist in this town. There are a ton of churches in this town. This is a very churched city. And for us to begin what we were and what we believed and what we did and not change that over these years was a sacrifice and a price to pay, but it worth the sacrifice and definitely worth the price. But you don't have that if you don't have people who get behind you and support that and do that. And that begins with my wife. The other day you were very kind to give Pastor some money for their vacation and time. Always recognize his wife. Always recognize his wife. They pay a price that nobody sees and nobody knows. And she's just amazing. She's the best Christian I know. You have to understand, please. I'm going to take just a minute here. I don't know why I'm asking. I'm going to do it anyway. But just take a minute. Ladies, think about this. Set up a family of five, three kids, one husband, with no budget. We had no income. We didn't raise support. We lived off whatever came in the offering plates. That was after the church started, but we started in June. And knocking doors 40, 50 hours a week. So we had absolutely not a dime of promised support. God just took care of and provided for us. But imagine that, ladies. Imagine that saying, now, what is my grocery budget this week? And I just say, we'll just have to. Not one time in 42 years did she ever come to me and say, well, why don't we ever have any kind of money for this or for that? Or what's going on? Or what's this? She never complained one time in 40 plus years. We take a vacation, go to grandma's house and sit around, eat potato chips and swim in the pool. But not one time. The other sacrifice is the children of the pastor and his wife. And our daughter Beth, and I texted my kids this morning and told them I appreciated their sacrifice for those years when we had to say, you know, well, we sit around the dinner table. Okay, where are we going for vacation this year? You know, Paris, we're going to London. Yeah, and I say, we're going to the auction yard in Cottonwood. And we're all going to split one plate of biscuits and gravy, as a matter of fact. Oh, okay, fine. No gripes, no complaints. As they say, behind every man that ever accomplishes anything is a great woman and a surprise set of in-laws. So, but then to see people come to our church. I mean, there's days, the Grange Hall building, the Open Bible Church building, there's days I pull in the parking lot and I think, why would anybody want to go to church here? This is not like a church. Now, when you start, that's one thing because you're a new church. Once 11 years into it and you're still meeting in buildings like that, I see people pull in the parking lot, turn around, pull right back out. I think, man, are we ever going to be able to establish anything? We just try to stay faithful to what God told us to stay faithful to. And then some people begin to stick and stay. And they didn't mind their kids getting married in an old building and that kind of stuff. I mean, they just stayed and stayed faithful and stayed with us through all of this. And now these last few years since I retired, Brother Becker, thank you for making it so easy on this preacher. People ask me when I travel, oh, so how's Brother Becker doing? I said, fantastic, he's doing great. I should have retired 10 years ago. Seriously. I mean, you think about the doctrine, principles, and practices of this church have not changed. We do have chairs on the platform. I'm still trying to get used to that. The pastor has a beard, and one of the staff members is driving a Maserati. Other than that, it's a rental car. Other than that, the preaching, the doctrine, everything's the same. Thank you, Brother Becker. Thank you for staying by that and staying faithful. Thank you, Miss Beth, for you staying faithful to your husband and your family. So we just keep going. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12, please. Carol May, you moved to Texas. You can't do that. You're the last of the last. You understand that, right? She was, her and her husband, some of the first two that walked through the doors of this church when we started. But as the pastor said, those who've been, I don't care if you've been here 6 months, we're thankful for you, appreciate you. Let's stay after it and stay on it. Amen? Mark chapter 11 and verse number 12, you find that. Let's stand together, please. Okay, it's 6:41, and we need to be done by 7 o'clock. You say, is that going to happen? Nope, but we need to be done by 7 o'clock. As my granddaughter Charlotte would say, come on, Gramps, hurry up. Okay, we're good. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. Now, before I read this, I want you to look at me. I stole this message from my Sunday school class. I go to the Senior Saints Sunday school class. I've had preacher friends come visit, and they look in there and go, what are you doing in there? I said, these are my people. What do you mean, what am I doing here? Some of you folks should be in that class. You can't admit the fact that you should be in that class, but you should be in that class. And I enjoy the class. I do. I enjoy our teacher, Brother Turner, his dear wife. I enjoy the people in that class. I just look at them. I'm blessed and challenged by their faithfulness and everything else. And you sit there, you get a buzz off the coffee. I mean, they're in there making coffee. You get a little caffeine out of that. So, Brother Turner, I stole this from you teaching this lesson not too long ago. So he'll look at it and go, boy, has he butchered that. But I understand. But here's the reason I preach it tonight, because it challenged me about something that I don't think we give enough attention to in our Christian walk. And on verse 12 of Mark 11, it says, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came. And if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. I want you to remember that statement. He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He found nothing, verse 13, he found nothing but leaves. Please listen. Didn't say there was anything wrong with the tree. Didn't say the leaves were withered and the roots were short and the bare and looked like the tree was dead. No, when he looked at it, he said, I bet there's figs on there. Have you ever looked at a fig tree? I've got three of them in my neighborhood, and when we take walks, there's one not far from our house. It's a huge fig tree. And there's two right in the neighborhood, but the big fig tree. After I was thinking on this and that lesson that Sunday morning, I was thinking on the nothing but leaves principle. I walked by, and I've seen that fig tree dozens of times. We walked past it. But when I walked by at that time, I looked at it, and I stopped, and I thought, you know, you can't really see the figs. You just see the leaves. Because fig leaves are huge. They're big. Adam and Eve use them for clothing. People still are, as a matter of fact. That's another subject. God, get some more leaves, please. But as I looked at that tree, I thought, you have to, well, no wonder he walked up to it, and if haply he might find, he had to pull through there because he's looking for figs on the tree, but he can't find any. But the tree was okay. Hey, the tree looked like a fig tree. Shiny leaves, shiny bark, everything about the tree looked right. But when he pulls the leaves back and keeps looking, he can't find any figs. And of course, Jesus says, well, as long as the tree looks good, we're fine. As long as the appearance of things is right, we're okay. Look at me. As long as what others see, then it's okay because we got a nice fig tree. No, he was not happy. In fact, he said, there'll be no fruit growing on this tree forever. You drop down a few more verses, that tree withered and died. And the lesson, again, I'm stealing the truth tonight, but the lesson is this. Don't settle for external appearances. I'm not saying how you look doesn't matter. Of course it matters. Pastor preached a great message on separation here just recently. I hope you listened. Because it does matter. Externals, internals matter in the Christian life. And they are a partnership. How we look and what we do inside our hearts, out in our lives, that's all matters. I'm not talking about the appearances, how we look. I'm talking about putting on an appearance of things. The Bible calls it hypocrisy. When the word hypocrisy is used in the Bible one time, it means actors on a stage. Why are people infatuated with actors? They spend their life pretending to be somebody they're not. You know what a hypocrite is? Pretending to be something that they're not. You know what I want to talk to you about tonight? I want to talk to you about nothing but leaves. Just look at me. Just settling for, well, I mean, as far as everybody else is concerned, I'm sure. But Jesus never settled for that here. Father, help us tonight, please. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be challenged. I know it's an anniversary thing, and I would like to give a more of an encouraging type message. And this is encouraging, I believe, if you'll listen. Because as I thought on the lesson that day, and as I've spent some time thinking on it over these weeks, I thought to myself, hey, I wonder if we realize how much the Lord tried to impress in his ministry to us, how important it is to be genuine about who you are and what you are before God. Okay, in Matthew chapter 13, two of the seven parables in that Matthew 13 passage Jesus preaches deals with that subject. It deals with the subject of the tares and the wheat. Remember, farmer sows a bunch of wheat. Some enemy comes in at night, sows tares among the wheat, which is weeds. The farmers call it cheat. It looks just like wheat. And when it grows and it gets a head of grain on it, like wheat does. But when it turns and gets to fullness of harvest, then you can tell it's not. It's called cheat. That's what they call it, because it cheats the farmers. But it's tare and wheat. How that among people, Christians, there are tare among the wheat. There are people who are really not genuine Christians, and there are people who are. Same parables, section of parables, Matthew 13. He talked about a fisherman throwing out a net, pulling in a net, and they go through the net, and they're pulling out good fish and bad fish. He used the example of talking in one passage of Scripture about sheep and goats, and how that one day in Judgment Day, God is going to separate things out, like putting sheep over here and goats over here. You can't confuse the two. They're totally different. Then, of course, Jesus was very careful when he talked about his own disciples and said, now one of you, he went as far in John 6 as to call him a devil. One of you is a traitor, is going to betray me, Judas. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I'm not going to really deal with the matter of salvation tonight. I'm talking about dealing with genuine, authentic Christianity. Look at me. That honors God, that he approves of. Unless we're careful, we're just going to have nothing but leaves. We think we'll have the right appearance of things. We'll come to church and we'll do the stuff and do the do's and don't the don'ts and that kind of thing. But wait a minute. But there's something else that the Lord's looking for. And with us, with a fig tree, there's nothing. He doesn't care about leaves. He remember that parable he taught in Luke chapter 13 about a man who owned a vineyard, and he planted a fig tree in his vineyard, which is totally out of place. I mean, what's the point of planting a fig tree in a vineyard? You go to the vineyard fields of our North California, you won't see trees in the middle of the field. You won't. Because they want to give it to the rose and to the vines. This guy plants a fig tree, but when he goes to find figs on his fig tree, he can't find them. And he says, cut that thing down. It's not doing its job. He was only concerned with the fact that he could not get out of that fig tree what he wanted. Something genuine that the Lord desired. Ladies and gentlemen, do we get the picture tonight? The goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Christ likeness, not Hollywood likeness, not sports likeness, not me. I want to just be me. That's hogwash. We need to be like him. But there's an authentic stuff about that real. See, that's why the name Christian was actually ever created. We didn't invent the word Christian. Acts chapter 11, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They gave them that name. Do you know why the word Christian means? It means like Jesus one. You guys are like the Jesus you talk about. That's authentic Christianity. So the whole point of this thing tonight is just to challenge us to be careful that we don't have nothing but leaves. Something genuine. Okay, and look at your verses tonight. Would you please, and let's see how we avoid this. It's very important. Would you look there at verse number 13, please. And it says, and on the verse 12, and on the morrow when they were come to Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. First of all, understand this thing about the figs on the tree. It was between just Jesus and the tree. There are disciples there. They hear him talk, but it's just the tree and Jesus. You know how you avoid a life of nothing but just leaves, where nothing's really genuine or authentic about it? Look at me. It needs to be you and Jesus. Just you and him. That's why you must maintain a genuine, authentic walk with God, where it's you and him, and you let him look you over real good and examine your heart and your life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Come on, we can talk ourselves into anything. We can convince ourselves. They comparing themselves by themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as that. When I don't do that, I'm not one of those. No, you're comparing the horizontal instead of the vertical. When was the last time? Look, Christian, look at me. When was the last time you and Jesus got alone and he looked at your fig tree and just searched you out until you knew there was something authentic about who you are, what you did, and how you lived your life? This whole thing about nothing but leaves, it's interesting to me. There's disciples are gathered around. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd, but it's just Jesus in the tree. And it's just Jesus who notices there's nice leaves. Where's the fruit here? It's not producing what he wants it to produce. Have you asked him? Hey, when was the last time you said, God, look me over in my heart and my life? Is everything all right with us? The other morning I was beginning my prayer time, and I've enjoyed one of the things about retirement is it has altered my prayer life. I got used to that, but now it's changed it in so many ways. But one of the ways that it's changed it that I'm thoroughly enjoying is absolute clear mind to talk to the Lord. And I begin my prayer life, and I always have the same principle. I get right with God and make sure my heart's right, everything else. And then I did all that, and I said, now, Lord, search me, oh God, and know my heart. And try. That's not rote stuff. Now, I'm asking the Lord to search me out and make sure I'm okay. And I felt like it was all right. It seemed like things were good. I spend time, I love on him, worship him, praise him, spend time with God, loving him. But halfway into that, it just seemed like something wasn't right. And I said, well, wait a minute, Lord. Is something wrong? I don't sense your presence in my life. I don't sense you moving on me. I'm not trying to get us to get into the feel side of Christianity, but I'm sorry, people. I don't know how the God of heaven can't come down and meet with one of his children and something good not come out of that. And you know, when you know you're right with God, you know when you're not. And you can't just go on. That's how we live this superficial life that looks okay to everybody else, but our heart's not right. Something's not there. Something between us and God is not right, and we want to make it right. Remember when God told Moses and the children of Israel and their stubbornness, he said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send one of my angels down. Now listen, and he said, you'll go to the promised land. You'll get everything I promised you, but I'm not going with you. Now listen. They could get everything God promised them. They would have the promised land. They would get every bit of promise and inheritance. So they're going to get what they want and what he promised them. They just have to let an angel instead of God do it. Moses, no wonder he's called a friend of God. Moses said, if you don't go with us, I'm not going. If you don't go with me, God, I'm not going. We're not leaving without you. I don't want some angel. I don't want the promised land. I want you in my life. How about that one, Christian? When was the last time it was you and Jesus? How about just you and him? Where God looks right down to the back button on your collar, looks down to the depths of your soul and touches that which is there, which needs to be dealt with. And I'm not just talking about conviction of sin, though there's nothing wrong with that one, my friend. How are we that are dead to sin, continue to live any longer therein? We must not be spending time with God. But I mean just the moving of God in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, the fig tree is not, it's not bad. It just doesn't have what Jesus wants. It's nothing but leaves. We avoid that by it just being you and Jesus. Jesus and the fig tree. Maintain your personal walk in time with the Lord and you will avoid nothing but leaves. Notice this, Jesus wanted fruit, not leaves. He looks inside. Again, it's that fig tree thing. I meant to bring a picture of it. Fig tree, he's pulling leaves apart, but he's looking for figs. He's getting the leaves out of the way, that superficial stuff. He's moving that, but he's looking for fruit. He wants to see something. And this is not Jesus being selfish. This is Jesus just wanting the fig tree to satisfy him and his desire. God doesn't have unholy desires. God doesn't have selfish desires. Well, what greater joy is it than to do what pleases him? And so he's looking for fruit. And he looked inside. As with the parable of the owner and the victory, he just wants fruit. Jesus is looking for what's genuine and for what's real. Christian, there are seven fruits of the Christian that God expects of us. Quickly, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of thanks, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of souls, the fruit of perfection, the fruit of increase, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. God expects us to have that fruit manifest in our lives. Well, I'm not sure about that. You know what? He is. Why don't you get with him about it? Why don't you settle for God's fruit in your life? If we're not careful, the most wicked thing we pick up from the world in which we live, the greatest form of worldliness among Christians is selfishness. I'm content with what I got. Come on, come on. Churches all across our city over here. You shouldn't be critical of them. It's not your turn to preach. Churches all across. I've pastored this city for 40 years. And the biggest, most popular churches are selfish churches, where you go in and you get the music you want. You get the entertainment you want. You get the style of Christianity you want. You can do whatever you want, live any way you want, be anything you want, go anywhere you want. There's a church over here in town that said, come as you are, stay as you are. God help us to never be like that. We want everybody to come. I don't care what you are. You're welcome in this church, but you're welcome to get everything the Bible says. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we'll settle for the fruit. I like the fruit of the Spirit. That's important in my life. Yeah, how about righteousness? How about holiness? How about thankfulness? How about perfection, which means maturity? How about growing up a little bit? You understand? Jesus is looking for that in our lives, and if we're not careful, we'll have nothing but leaves, and there's no fruit. Jesus then separates the leaves to find the fruit. He had to push past the leaves to find out what should have been there. Let him do that in your life. Get genuine. Get real. Have you seen these people, these guys? I've seen them after 40 years. These guys who come to Fundamental Independent Baptist churches because they know we teach biblically the principle of the relationship of the husband and the wife, which is the husband is the head of the house, the wife is the slave and the servant, and bows and genuflects and calls him Lord. Sarah called Abraham Lord. I know two preachers who spanked their wives. I told my wife one day, so honey, I know two preachers who spanked their wives. She goes, don't even think about it. And I never have since then. The truth of the matter is, no. These guys, look at me. They hang around because they want to be able to use that over their wife. Seriously, you really think that's what God created, that relationship of husband and wife, where husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That relationship between Jesus' love for his church was a sacrificial love, a dedicated love, a go the extra mile love, that kind of stuff. That's genuine there. Oh, and let me be totally non-committal to the Hillarys. They come to Independent Fundamental Baptist churches, they don't like that stuff. You know how many times I've done weddings, and when you get to that part of the vows, where the husband promises to love, honor, keep, and cherish her till death do thee part, and the wife promises to love, honor, cherish, and obey. I mean, weddings where people hear these women go, uh-uh. I mean, they're not even in the wedding. Thank God it wasn't the bride. Yeah. Hold on a second. And let me just spread a little more shotgun around here. Then we're talking about kids in the home where the parents are actually in charge. And the kid does what they're supposed to do. Say, well, it doesn't work like that in my house. Keep working it. The truth of the matter, wait a minute. Wait, the truth of the matter is that's just the family relationship. Now you're talking about a church with a pastor who loves you and leads you. Starts a project for doing the landscaping here. That we should have that $60,000 already.
Well, this is not going over too good.
Let's get to dessert. We're talking money now. This is trouble. What? See, to me, something like that, when I was a pastor, always was a test of whether or not people of this church really believed I knew what I was doing and wanted the pastor to pastor the church. A long time ago, Brother Becker, I decided I'm not pastoring Shasta Baptist Church by permission. God called me to pastor this church. God called you to pastor this church. So God called pastors over this church.
Oh, you believe in the dictatorship.
No, you believe in the stuff going on in the streets of Cincinnati tonight where people get beat because they're walking down the street. That junk. See, Brother Johnson, what in the world has that got to do with God searching me out? How about you going to God and say, what kind of a church member am I anyway, Lord? What do I do? Do I get the benefit of Shasta Baptist Church, but not the requirement of what needs to be done at Shasta Baptist Church? And this is a giving church. This is a working church. Just did VBS, tremendous, right? Camp this week. Come on, look, we're taking your kids away from you. You ought to love us just for that. And if you give us enough money, they don't want them to have to come back. They're going down whitewater rafting, jumping off cliffs. Really easy, a slip, whoop, and you're done. I'm not going to be there, don't worry. The truth is, no, but when was the last time we said, now, Lord, make me make sure. See, now, I'm not the pastor of Shasta Baptist Church anymore. Don't amen that. I'm not the pastor of Shasta Baptist Church anymore. I'm a member of Shasta Baptist Church. I want to make sure I'm a member of this church. I'm doing my job. I'm a giver here. I'm praying here. I serve here. I work here. I'm not here a whole lot, and I know you think, well, where in the world is he? Rehab. But the truth is, let God work on you. Let him pull the leaves back. Let him get in there. Just let him do what he's got to do. Come on, God, do something in my life. I want to be right with my God. I want to be genuine. I want to be authentic about who I am and what I am. Let him clear away that which has taken the place of what he wants. Well, there's nothing wrong with leaves, Pastor Johnson. They're a substitute, and you don't want that. Quickly now, dessert's coming. Look at verse 13. But did you see that statement? You probably read right past it, but look at it. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Now look at this statement. For the time of figs was not yet. Oh, well, it's not the fig tree's fault. It wasn't fig time. Well, who said times of figs? People would watch a fig tree grow, know a certain time the figs come. You know, if you've ever been around them, they come in at a certain time, they don't. So, he's got an excuse. It's not time for figs. Why would Jesus look on a tree that wasn't time for figs? Because he wanted fruit on his tree. And he wasn't willing to accept excuses for why it wasn't bearing figs. We live in a society today that has excused itself from just about everything. Yeah, seriously. It's not your fault. You grew up in a disconnected home. You grow up in an atomic home, which is blown up family. You grew up in this. You had this in your life. You grew up there. You had this. You didn't get that. You didn't have one of those. You didn't get one of these. And we've got nothing but excuses from adults who know better and ought to do better. There's no excuse. See, here's the worst part of the message, and this probably not been too good up to this point. But listen to me carefully. There isn't any substitute for you getting along with God. I can't do that for you. No one else can either. Retreats. We go on a retreat and stuff, and they're fine. They're a good emphasis to it. I preached this one up in Alaska, and I think 8 years. Next year, I'll go back up there again, God willing. And the truth is, they're great. You get away, you preach, you get some time together. Kids go to camp. They go over there and they go up there and give everything but breathing. And if we get a chance, we'll take that too. Phones don't work up there. Kids walking around with their hands shaking, staring at their phone. Do you got any bars? I don't have any bars. Can you text? Kids climbing 92-foot redwood trees, holding the phone up going, how about now? I mean, they're dying. They'll give everything but breathe and come home and go right back to the same wicked sin. No, they won't. They'll get right and they'll be good kids because we are great kids in this church. But wait a minute. Well, they're teenagers, and after all, that's another excuse. Yeah, but look at the world. That's not our standard. Yeah, but see, I saw this Christian that what they did. That's another excuse. It wasn't a time for figs, but Jesus still expected something but leaves because excuses don't work with him. Why? Because he knows what we can do. He knows that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yes, look at me. Yes, you can. Yes, you can with Jesus and his help. Yes, you can. No excuses. Nothing but leaves. There's no excuse for that. Then verse 20 and 21, the tree withers. And so it is without genuine Christianity and Christ-approved living. Things wither up. You know, backsliding isn't a blowout. It's a slow leak. Things just start to wither. Summer's here. And, you know, how do anything lives in Reading at 110? I have absolutely no idea. Only thing that grows good in Reading are weeds. I will fertilize, water my grass, take care of it like you can't believe it. And I got weeds in every crack in my sidewalk, for goodness sakes, that I'm not taking care of, but they seem to get their job done. How anything, but I'm watching them, and you start seeing the leaves start to wither a little. You go, oh, something's going on with this thing, and you go over there. Usually it's insects, so you spray it until it glows in the dark, you know, and all that kind of stuff, organically. You know how Christians backslide? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. We just don't get with him, and we just kind of settle in and settle up, and the leaves are still there. But after a while, you have nothing but leaves. You have a tree that's no good. When Jesus cursed that tree, he wasn't being unkind. He was just simply saying, I'm not going to put up with nothing but leaves. Let's get real here. See, this tree had an opportunity to give something to Jesus to satisfy and to help him. He isn't trying to be selfish by demanding of your life that you do something else other than just show up and kind of act like a Christian. He wants something real out of you. And we just want to get with him till we do that. Then what? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Isn't that the standard, the goal for us as Christians? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's going to be an interesting day. When the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That's in every one of his parable judgments. You know what that means? People are going to line up, put their thumbs in their spiritual vest, shoving their way to the front of the line. Look at me, look at me, look what I did, look what I am, look what I know, look what I've done, look what people think about me, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus will say, you people get in the back of the line, you disgust me. Come here, Grandma. Grandma, come up here. You did right by your family as best as you could, and you prayed their souls, prayed for their souls and loved them. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come here, Dad. You went to work every day and labored and took care of your family, took them to church, didn't send them. You did your best by your family, Dad. Well done, good and faithful sir. Hey, Mom, you come up here with that. You two right there. You stood right by that man, and the two of you together loved one another and helped, tried your best with your children. Come on, Mom, up here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, that's going to be a day where there are going to be a lot of people standing around going, what did he do? He lived to what pleased the Lord. Let's make sure there's nothing but, we avoid nothing but leaves. Let's stand together, please. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How do I do that? How about asking him?